welcome to JLHF, the world's first podcast at VidCon.
Ooh, VidCon 2025 is here.
And you would have no idea because we're on a totally unmarked balcony.
Well, if you were really, if you really knew your hotels, you might be able to sort of pinpoint it.
Yeah.
Did you notice that up there? Are those snipers? Like police snipers, you think?
I have kind seen stuff over? Recently about how events now just have snipers at them in case something happens.
Yeah, one of us could get sniped during the pod.
I didn't see that at all.
Well,
have you been watching?
What do you think? What do you think they're doing? I can't see that far. My glasses.
They might just be watching.
Don't zoom.
That's
It's a little ominous, right?
That's very
right there.
Extremely ominous.
I don't know. We might be able to see them in the background of yours. I don't know. Let me look.
Maybe.
No, we can't. We can't. But
I could show the audience later.
Yeah, maybe do that. It's a good way to.
But
we should be trying to gather unwanted attention from law enforcement officials near Los Angeles at this time.
Right.
That's a great use of our. Clout.
Yeah, really strange time to be visiting LA. We're in a sea of influencers.
Mm-hmm, they're all down there. You guys can't see them. We're about 150 feet up, I think, probably.
You can probably vaguely hear the partying in the background. I wanted to do it near the partying, but maybe that would have been too intense. Anyway.
I feel like
there's a lot of noise.
There would have been a lot of noise, and there was a lot of distractions. You remember when we did it in New Orleans, and I could barely keep focus with like one person every 2 minutes.
We could be doing street interviews.
Well, you can go look. The mics are wireless. We can walk anywhere we want.
Yeah.
We can leave the frame. Watch. We can keep.
Anyway, here we are in a sea of hotels.
She can't hear what I'm saying right now.
Around the convention center. Austin's going to jump off the balcony in a second.
I'm going to do it.
But. Yeah, weird little, funky little area. Disney is also here, so there are people staying here for Disney.
Some, yes. You can see the Tower of Terror right over there.
Whoa, you can!
Or whatever it is, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Is it Guardians now?
Yes, they've changed it. So that's Disneyland.
Yeah, Disney is next door to VidCon.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always heard about people at VidCon going to Disney, and I assumed it was just because it was also in L.A., but it's because it's actually across the street.
I don't like that you're talking to them more than you're talking to me.
Okay, sorry.
I want to be engaged.
Sorry.
What I want to know is, I feel like you knew more about VidCon than me before coming here. And I want to know, was it what you expected it would be overall, big picture? It's a lot of YouTubers. It's a lot of TikTok people. Dr.
Yes.
K.
I've been told it is less exciting than it has been in previous years. And also, I knew that it would be like less creators that I actually know because in this modern day, it turns out at least 50% of VidCon is held up by, I'm sorry, I keep looking at them.
It's okay. It's
now
fine.
Now I feel bad.
Just talk to me. Talk to me.
Okay. At least 50% of VidCon is held up by Minecraft, the video game Minecraft.
A lot of Minecraft. There's a lot of, there's a little bit of Among Us and Roblox, but it's like dramatically overshadowed.
Yes. I have walked
Minecraft
past
YouTubers.
Multiple panels in the main booth area that are comprised entirely of Minecrafters.
Yeah, and they're often doing, basically playing their YouTube videos on the screen and reacting to them live.
Yes,
and then
that happened.
They'll pause it and they'll be like, what do you think we're going to say next? And they'll be like, ABC. And then all the kids go, B. And then they play it and it's something else.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting use of time for the children.
So it's a strange event. I would say it lives up to my expectations because I wasn't expecting much, because I'm kind of already aware that maybe VidCon is dying as a concept.
I would say I actually had more fun than I expected, slightly. I found it quite pleasant.
I've been enjoying it. I feel like I know more people that have been doing panels than you do.
I don't know any of the people on the panels. Yeah, pretty much all of the people I've met have been like at the parties at night. And people that I like previously knew were going to be here that I then talked to, with a few exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely, I basically know nobody on the panels, aside from like Dr. K, obviously. And then there was like a news panel with some news people that I kind of recognized.
Mm-hmm.
But in general,
I've seen Hank Green at a couple things.
Oh, yeah, that guy. He's around here.
Yes. And I've seen Dr. K at a couple things, and I just saw him walking around today, too. So I saw his actual panel where he was talking about mental health for creators.
Yes.
And I went up to him after, and it was just like an awkward, regular fan
encounter. As you'd expect. Yeah.
You know?
It was like he was a guy and you were a nobody.
Right. Because I am, which is fine.
Well, next to Dr. K, most people here are nobodies.
Right, because he's like the king of the world. He's like the most important person here.
Yeah.
But I just like gushed to him for a few sentences. And shook his hand, and that was about it. So don't expect him to remember me if we ever cross paths again. But
well, apparently you did cross paths again, and he didn't, so.
Right.
In one ear and out the other, I guess.
He probably just doesn't want... He has so many crowds of adoring fans. He's
right.
Probably
he's not
going to
be like, oh, I saw you when you came up to me and said you liked me yesterday. Right. It's not going to happen, yeah.
Right, no.
That makes sense.
But I saw him at a... He was at a D&D booth buying dice.
Cute.
Because he has said that his whole family plays D&D.
Except him?
And so do I now. Including him.
Oh. That's, yeah. What a lovely family activity.
Right.
I feel like that actually would be a really good way to, like, family bond.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, like, work through some traumas.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
It
exercises your imagination.
Super does, yeah. More than a lot of things, honestly. It's sort of like just playing imagination, but with rules,
it really is.
Right? That's, like, the whole thing. Just, like, a little more rules to make it a little more dynamic, so you can't just, like, do whatever you want.
It is cool now that I've actually learned about it and I play it and I understand how it works, because my impression of it before was very much like, if we're all just sitting around playing make-believe, like, what's preventing me from just doing something crazy and ruining the whole game?
Yes,
you know?
Which in some, there's always a tension. I don't know if you experience this with your group, but every time I would play games like D&D or like D20 related games, right?
Yeah.
Like, there was one called Spycraft that we played a lot that was like James Bond D&D, and there's always this tension between the people who just kind of want to tell a funny story and goof off and do interesting things, and the people who want to like min-max their character and like really like get the rules and stuff. I don't know if you feel that tension when you play, but I always thought that was really funny, because it would mean that half of the group was always kind of mad, whether depending on how one thing was going or not. And yet at the end, when you look back on it, it was always like a very immersive adventure. Like, you kind of feel like you did it, even though you're just rolling dice, which is really incredible.
Yeah, we definitely have varying levels of people taking it seriously,
right,
or like goofing off. I think everybody still has fun, which is why everybody keeps coming. But there's a little bit, we have a lot of wild cards on the team.
How big is the group?
Four. Sometimes
four.
Five.
Yeah. Okay.
Because people come in and out.
And how long has
one of
it
our
been
guys
one...
is too famous and busy to talk to us anymore, so he quit.
That sucks.
Not really.
Is it all you don't like him? Is it all one continuous game, or do you re-roll the characters frequently?
It's been one continuous game so far.
That's so fun.
We might do like a little one-off.
Do characters ever die and then get reborn? Like, do you come in as a new character if your character dies?
Nobody's ever completely died yet.
Okay.
Some people maybe deserve.
You think
to.
Noah's open to that though? Potentially killing people letting people die.
We could definitely kill some people.
Yes.
We might have to kill some people out of punishment soon, because, like I said, like, some people are just a little bit too crazy.
Yeah.
Doing too crazy things, not really following the story.
Yeah.
So they might need to die as punishment.
Okay. Well.
Anyway, so D&D's cool. Dr. K loves D&D.
Oh yeah. That's how we were talking about this.
And so what else about VidCon?
Yeah. Well, let's just run through the days. So we got here on Wednesday. We're not going to talk about what we did that night. I don't want to think about it.
I don't remember
what it was.
No, I know.
It was an incredible time. It was an unbelievable, memorable experience.
Yes. I talk about it a lot on my
blog. Holy Christ. I don't know. I'm curious what you'll say about it on the blog versus what my experience of it was.
Yeah.
But also on Wednesday, we went to the observatory, which I loved.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the Ferris wheel, which I loved. And then we came to... It was like midnight. We came to the hotel. VidCon day one. What do you remember? This is VidCon day
four. It's really all blurred together.
Technically.
What did I do on day one? Day one in the morning, the first thing was I saw a panel that Hank Green was in.
Ah, yes.
Which was the first time I've seen Hank Green with my own eyes.
Yes.
He was really there.
I'll say to the people what I said to you, which is, and I mean this with all due respect, he's smarter than I thought he was. And I don't really watch him. I just thought he was another guy. But, like, he genuinely seems like a thoughtful person.
He's done a lot of educational stuff.
Yeah, he really has. Like, I didn't realize how much of that his whole vibe was.
On Vlogbrothers, they kind of talk about whatever. That's, like, the channel they've had for a long time, Hank and John. But on Hank's personal channel, he talks a lot about, like, just news.
Apparently,
and
the climate.
And
he said he, like, knows more about the climate than anyone.
Yeah, he started... His first thing on the internet, I think, was a climate blog. Like, before
like
video.
Like a
typing blog.
Whoa, a typing blog.
Yeah. That was apparently pretty popular.
That is what he
started doing videos and stuff.
He talked a lot about that on a panel about, like, how the news is shaped by social media or whatever the heck. And yeah, he just came across as very thoughtful, and I really appreciated that. I appreciate that he had nuanced like thoughts about how complicated that covering the news can be, and mm-hmm. and the responsibility of it, and he's mindful of it, but that doesn't want to be like overly like stuck up or stodgy about it. And so it's a tough thing to do. So
for sure,
my respect for Hank Green has gone up, as well as Dr. K. I would say both of them 10 to 20% buff on my respect for both of them.
Yeah, Dr. K would love that wording. He's always, I don't know if you've seen a lot of his videos.
A little bit, yeah.
What makes me giggle a little bit is that he uses a lot of gaming metaphors.
Know your audience.
And so but it's like he's so used to using the gaming metaphors that he says it with like zero humor, like he's 100% serious.
Yes, I noticed that a little bit.
He'll say things like, his big thing is like AoE healing. Which I think is
area of effect healing. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Like you start healing and like helping the other people around you heal and such. But he says it in his streams and stuff so casually.
Yeah.
And it just is a little bit funny to me.
Well, because at this point, his audience is much bigger than just gamers. You know, like there's definitely a lot of like regular people who watch YouTube watching Dr. K very frequently. But I like the gamer metaphors. It definitely works for my brain, you know?
For sure. It's just funny how casually he says it sometimes.
He's a funny guy.
But yeah, he's great. I'm trying to think of like other people I cared about seeing. So the other thing that was kind of cool was I guess it's YouTube's 20th anniversary this year.
That's right. There's a big banner.
So there's been
somewhere.
A little bit of extra stuff about YouTube because I think VidCon is technically all online video, like TikTok is included. But a lot of the banners and stuff this year are very YouTube themed, and I think it's because it's the 20th anniversary. And so the opening ceremony had a cute little Hall of Fame induction thing that a lot of the OGs were at, like Grace Helbig and Tyler Oakley and Smosh and Rhett and Link.
It's very, I don't know if you sense this, but it is interesting to feel, and I've been going to lunches a lot. So I'm going to lunch with people. And one thing I keep asking people about is like, there's this definite tension between like, short form TikTok people and then YouTube, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and I feel like VidCon wants to be like YouTube, but it's like kind of struggling with that identity. And you felt it, or I felt it at that opening ceremony when I feel like the YouTubers would come out and it was like clapping and it was fine. But they were not like the vast majority of people there were there for
J-Man Curly.
J-Man Curly, obviously, who is a YouTuber. But I feel it's operating in a slightly different, like less long term format, maybe something that won't necessarily still be happening in 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, I gotta go watch a couple of his videos.
Maybe they're way better than we're thinking they're gonna be.
Huge crowd of children, absolutely feral for J-Man Curly.
Yes.
And we looked him up and he's only getting like, what? How many views was he getting per video? Like, it was in the
600-700 Ks. Yeah. It wasn't like millions. He has 111 million followers on TikTok.
Yeah, supposedly he's bigger on TikTok, so I need to go look at his TikToks. And he makes music and performed a couple songs. I don't even know if he spoke because we kind of exited during his concert.
Yes, we decided after a song, that was enough of the intro. Because we saw all the OG YouTuber people. That's really what we were there to see.
Yeah. I was excited for the Hall of Fame thing, but then the announcers kept being like, are you guys excited for J-Man Curly? And that's when the whole crowd would erupt in shrill child screams.
Yes.
Because they were absolutely obsessed. So I just wanted to see him come out and hear everybody scream, and it hurt my ears a little bit. Yep. And then I said, okay.
And that was that.
I've seen enough.
Yeah.
So I need to like figure out what the hype is exactly, but the kids are really into J-Man Curly. Kids coming to VidCon, by the way, is a strange thing to me.
Yeah. I mean, anime conventions, it has that vibe, I feel like.
Yeah. I guess it's just, like, maybe the convention doesn't really know what it is. Because when it started, I remember it was a big thing for the regular community to come and meet their favorite creators. Like, that was the thing that was big about it, was meet and greets. Mm-hmm. Which in the beginning was mostly just, like, people saying, meet me outside of this hotel at this time.
Yep, and now it's very
And now they have structured meet and greets that I assume you're paying money for.
Generally speaking, you also cannot do, my understanding is you cannot do meet and greets that are, if you're on the VidCon premises and you do a meet and greet without, like, sort of prior authorization, it's a big no-no. Which makes sense because you want to avoid these crazy crowds and stuff like that.
I couldn't see anything about that on the website, but I have been wondering about that.
That might be something that I wasn't supposed to say. I'm not sure, but it's in a document somewhere.
Well, if it's a rule, it's a rule.
But that's it might be a rule for like creators who are going and they're like, you better not do a meet and greet.
Yeah.
Which, again, makes sense because you can imagine a world where they didn't before they had that rule. And then there's meet and greets and it causes a bunch of chaos. And everyone misses their panels and so on and so forth.
Yeah, there was chaos, people getting hurt in, you know, throngs of crowds.
And so you at some point, you got to bring the rules in. You got to get the snipers on the roof. Just make sure everything goes hunky-dory.
Right. They're up there.
You know, you got, and that's what they're there for is if we started doing a meet and greet, I'm done. Right through the dome.
There was, just now when I was walking up, there was some guy, again, it's crazy, like, who I'll pass and everybody's freaking out and I've never heard of them and they have 10 million subscribers.
A lot of people like that.
But there was some guy down there, Sam something, Smirchels.
Sam Smirchel, yeah, everyone. Everyone knows Sam Smirchy.
Smirchoy.
Smirchoy. Smoochie.
I gotta look him up. But he was doing a lookalike contest and he had just put, like, banners everywhere. I think it was unofficial, so like maybe he's getting sniped right now.
Could be. He's that's what that alarm. Doing, you can hear that alarm going off.
Yeah, that's the alarm.
They just realized
for this smoochy lookalike contest.
They're done.
That's absolutely not.
Better start running, Sam. You better start running.
Anyway, so I think I'm a little bit sad that I missed out on coming to VidCon when I really would have wanted to, which is when I was like younger.
But that isn't that just the nature of all good things? Like it is.
Yeah, but it's
they're
fun.
Good for 5 to 10. They're like. Weird and good for 5 years, really good and exciting for 5 years, and then kind of whatever for the rest of time.
Yeah.
You know? So you kind of got to get in on things.
It's a little bit of the fact that audiences are so split now. And like we're saying, there's people, millions and millions of followers that we've never heard of. And I think that's true for everybody because there's just so much content. There's so much choice now that there's kind of no such thing as a YouTube community anymore. Like, there's little ones.
Yeah. I mean, is there any YouTuber that basically everyone knows about aside from Jimmy, you know?
It's the really big ones. It's like Mr. Beast. I don't know.
Yeah, is there anyone else that everyone...
I think it's all. Mr. Beast.
It's all Jimbo. It's all controlled by him. He's like the only person that everyone knows about. Like that, even we, if Mr. Beast was here, we'd probably go, let's go see him. You know, he's there.
Just to see him. In real life,
I would bask in the glow, you know, that big smile.
But it has still been fun. I think it's lucky that I came on the 20-year anniversary thing because there have been a couple things with older YouTubers that I know. I thought the keynote speech was really cute. Sophia Nygaard was there. I know her. I think I've heard that there's just not as much to do as in prior years. I'm glad that I came. It's fun, honestly, to just walk around the booths and stuff.
Just kind of like see people and look at the stuff. And
be a bunch of nerds.
Even the panels are kind of like fun enough to just pop in and sit and listen to. Some of them are better than others, obviously. But, you know, there's like a little bit of an energy and a little bit of it's a weird insular kind of summer camp kind of situation happening.
For sure.
And we can do that. We can have fun with that.
Yeah.
Would we come back again next year? TBD. We'll see. We'll see how that goes.
I think this was a good first experience. Do you have somewhere to be?
I always check. Sorry. I know. I'm checking to make sure my camera's still recording because I can see it on my watch.
Right. Is mine.
So I like obsessively check it because sometimes I accidentally zoom in like this. You'll see. I just zoomed in.
Just quit fiddling with it. Thing.
But you fiddle with it on accident, you know? Oh, maybe if I zoom out like this, you can see the snipers. Yeah, actually, you see all the way on the left of the frame there, you can see that little tent. Zoom in on that, ma'am. You just zoom in on that. Let's go see Enhance. We should be filming in 4K.
Yeah.
So that's who those are. And now we're back.
Yeah, they've got sights set on you for sure.
Definitely, as they should. So, yeah, I think it's fun. You know, I'm fine with it. I think it's fun. You know, if I did it again, I would probably do it slightly differently.
Yeah, I was just going to say, this is fine as I'm mostly still here as a fan at this point.
Yeah.
Because nobody knows who I am. Mm-hmm. I was a little curious. I didn't know if anybody was going to recognize me, but absolutely nobody has recognized me.
Wasn't there one person at one of the parties who was like, I know you? But it wasn't like a random fan encounter.
It's nothing. It's been nothing at the convention.
Yeah.
At that party, a couple people recognized me, but they've never actually watched me. They just saw in their recommended.
Yeah, which is common. There was a lot of people who, I think like 7 different people last night were like, you look kind of familiar. I go, GTA Power Lines. And they go, oh, I saw that thumbnail.
They didn't even watch it, but they saw the thumbnail.
Yeah. So there's been a lot of that going on.
So my thumbnails are famous.
They're good thumbnails. You have some of the best thumbnails in the game, honestly.
You think? I'm just fucking around.
I think a couple of your thumbnails are up there with like the best that they can be, in my opinion.
All right.
In terms of like conveying
a strong
vibe.
I don't need more, like, red circles.
Definitely not. No, that stuff's all
more
out
this.
For sure. I've been practicing that. We should do. I saw that with your, you can clip that and use it for the podcast intro.
Yeah.
In fact, why don't you do that and I'll stand behind you and then you can be pointing at me and that's the podcast thumbnail.
Anyway, I probably won't come back to VidCon unless I'm invited.
You would never, like, submit yourself to be an invited creator? Because then you can go, that's like where all the stuff actually is.
That's what I'm saying, though, is like, unless I'm going to be on a panel or something.
Well, yeah, so but that's a choice, right? Most people who are on panels submit to be on the panel, so you could do that for next year.
So I'll start on it.
And then you get that little badge, you can go in the secret hotel and hang out with all the people.
And you've got the super secret pass and you haven't even gone in there.
Yeah, well, I want to hang out with my friends. Or, like, I just don't. Could you imagine me walking around alone in that place where they're surrounded by those people? Nothing good would come of that. It wouldn't be a good thing. I'm not the type of person that likes to go into places like that and just, like, talk to people.
I want you to go in there with a GoPro on your forehead so I can see it.
They might get mad about that.
Oh, sure.
You know, because it's
probably.
Like a secret. You never know what
it's
people are
secret.
Doing in, like, the ball pit room, for example. Sometimes
exactly.
Things get a little funny. Yeah, you never
know what guys are doing in a ball pit these days.
Or a pool where they have a pool with a
up
giant
to no
hot
good.
Dog.
Mm-hmm.
Careful. That's yeah. Up to no good in that secret YouTuber hotel. I saw that documentary. I heard about that documentary.
Anyway, so I do want to talk a little bit about what I did before VidCon, because I've been in L.A. for almost a week now. I basically live here.
Oh, yeah. You have been here a long time.
I came 3 days early on Sunday, and the conference started on Thursday. Is that 3 days? I don't know.
Doesn't matter, however many it was.
I've lost count. This is my home now. I've got a mean sunburn right on the top of my head where my hair part is.
But nowhere else it looks like.
I don't know if you've noticed I've been walking around like this.
I have not noticed that.
That's because the top of my head hurts so bad because it's so sunburned.
Still?
Yeah.
You don't put a little strip of,
it's gotten
of cream
a little
in
bit
there? Or it's sun cream?
In my
sun?
Hair?
Well, on the scalp part.
It's going to make my hair look greasy.
You think so?
I don't know. Maybe I should have. I really should have just bought a hat.
I suppose you think that looks worse than walking around like this?
But I've just been walking around like this.
Maybe a hat is actually probably the move. I've never seen you in a hat.
A hat is the solution.
What kind of a hat? There's got to be free hats somewhere around here.
I imagine sometimes that I could be a hat person because I think a hat can be cute. A little baseball cap.
A little baseball cap, yeah, for sure.
But once in a while I buy one and I never ever wear it. And every hat that I've seen for sale here has been $30. And I'm like, am I going to spend $30 for something I'm only going to wear on this trip?
Well, it's an iconic thing to come to VidCon for the first time. So maybe you should consider getting a hat.
Should I get a VidCon hat?
Maybe.
Anyway, I got here on Sunday. I've been exploring the whole goddamn city.
Yep.
And so I went to my very first day. I went to Hollywood Boulevard and saw the stars. And I went to the Museum of Jurassic Technology.
Yes, this is the most interesting thing I've heard about all week.
I've told you a little bit about it, and I apologize if I say the same things again.
The people need to know.
But, and again, I talk about this in my vlog too, so I want to see if I can focus on different things.
Okay.
But it is kind of like walking into a dream. It's impossible to explain. I think they put some kind of spell on it, because mm-hmm. you're not allowed to take pictures in there. They actually don't even want you to have any electronic devices on at all.
Okay.
But I did not comply with that. They weren't checking that I turned my phone off.
Yeah.
So I did, like, at least write down a couple people. You keep glancing anxiously at the snipers like they're going to
actually
snipe.
You never know. I'm just saying, you never know who's watching.
Right, because I think that's the Museum of
that
Jurassic
could be.
Technology
that's kind of what I was thinking.
There. And so because I'm talking about what's in there, they're going to...
Yeah.
They're going to shoot
keep
me down.
It, yeah, I'm sort of, when you talk about it, I'm picturing it like a cross between like the Creationism Museum and the maze at the end of the fourth Harry Potter movie, where like everything's always shifting around and it's impossible
that
to know
is,
where you
yes,
are.
Yes.
So it's like that.
It's dim, it's dark, it's maze light.
Yeah.
Some of the lights and things just don't work. There's
you
a
did
bunch
of. Take pictures.
I didn't take pictures, no.
What did you do then? Take video?
I just walked around it,
you
and
said,
then I talked about it after.
But you said you didn't comply with their rules about no photography or whatever.
About having my phone completely off, because I did take a couple notes.
Oh, okay, gotcha,
of,
gotcha,
like,
gotcha.
People's names that I wanted to look up after.
But you didn't take pictures. So no. You have no visual aids for the audience
no,
or me?
No, that's the thing. You have to go. You guys have to go.
Oh, man.
If you're in L.A., it's in Culver City, and it's so funny because it's right by where we were. There's this little shopping center called the Culver Steps.
Yes, we were there.
That is very... it's very rich.
Yeah, we went to that grocery
store. There's an Erewhon. Where they sell $20 Hailey Bieber-themed smoothies.
Oh, I didn't realize they were Hailey Bieber themed.
It was Hailey Bieber.
Oh, well then, $20 is... That's a steal.
It was called Hailey Bieber's Skin Smoothie, which I think is because it's supposed to improve your skin. But it kind of sounds like it's made out of
Hailey
Bieber's
skin. Yeah, that's really
cool.
I feel like I shouldn't have caved to pressure. I should have got one. Because I was like, oh, I've got dinner. I don't want to have a smoothie. But
you
like,
should have had a sip.
I should have had a
Hailey
Bieber skin smoothie.
But they're $20 and they're extremely normal cup size.
Yeah.
Like, just a little cup.
People did make it sound, and there was really expensive stuff in there, but there was stuff that was like not that much more expensive than a Whole Foods, which is an expensive grocery store. But people to me made it sound like it was like $10 for a pack of carrots, you know, $20 for a thing of
eggs.
I think
they have kind of normal priced options for a lot of
right.
stuff,
but it's
then
like
there's
specialty
the
goods,
to get
like
the
Erewhon stuff.
Or the, yeah.
Now
the
aesthetics
stuff.
Were bad. They reminded me of like a video game, like all the lettuce was placed in perfect squares, and it looked like it was all weird and artificial, which is kind of strange.
All the produce was arranged, like, in a grid.
Yes, in a grid, and there was no missing spaces. Like, as soon as someone buys something, someone puts another one there, so
yeah,
that it always
really
is perfectly
weird.
Filled in.
Really weird. Just makes me think about how much that stuff is being touched by the staff.
Yes, who seemed very clean
it.
And nice. Like,
I'm
the,
sure
the
it
staff
is.
Is very pleasant.
Yeah. But
you know who also has, like, the most pleasant staff that I've ever met? No matter which location, in what state, every time, Enterprise Rent-A-Car. They are, like, extremely coked up and happy kind of vibes. Like, they're just really like, how you doing, sir? How's it going? How was your day today? You talk to our folks in there? Great. That's awesome. What can I do for you?
I find that a lot of people involved in any kind of car business are like that.
Yeah. I like it.
You like that?
Yeah. It makes me feel seen.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, you know what? I did have a great time.
I felt
Thank
a little
you.
Bit judged by the guy that sold us our car recently.
What was it? A used car or a new car?
It was used, and we wanted to go take it to get inspected because that's what you're supposed to do.
Yes.
And he was just very visibly annoyed that we wanted to do that because he was like, we already inspected it with our process and you really don't need to do that.
Well, it makes his job harder.
And there didn't seem to be anything wrong with it. So maybe he was right, but...
Yeah, but it's weird to assume that you have a reason to trust him. Which even if you do, or like even if he's trustworthy, you don't have a reason to know that, you know?
Yeah.
So, oh well.
Anyway, the museum.
Yes. Jurassic technology. Still don't really know what
that means.
I was
just going to say that it's funny that it's directly next to this extremely like affluent area, shopping area. But then the actual street that the museum is on that I was at on my first day, I didn't see the mall at all because it's like just one block to the left. But the street that the museum is on just looks like complete, like, concrete hellscape. Like, I felt like I was
like
in the
a Walmart
middle of nowhere.
Parking lot. Oh, even worse. Or better.
Yeah, I mean, it was very, like, there was, like, a couple big chains and just huge parking lots, and it didn't have that kind of rich vibe at all.
Yeah.
And then just, like, one block away is all these very expensive restaurants and stuff. It's interesting.
Do you think the museum... is there because it's shittier, or do you think it's shittier because the museum is there? Do you think as soon as they install that museum, the property value is just tanked? It was like shooting a machine gun off in your backyard?
Maybe. The museum supposedly has a very long history.
They must own the building, right?
Probably, yeah.
Because if they didn't, they would.
I think they've been there for a really long time.
Yeah.
So again, it's called the Museum of Jurassic Technology. You look it up online, the description of the museum says... we showcase artifacts from the Lower Jurassic. Okay, and you look
lower.
That up.
I didn't know there was a Lower
and
Jurassic.
And that's a period of time that is millions of years ago.
Uh-huh.
The Jurassic.
Yes.
There is nothing...
some might say pre-technology.
There is nothing in the museum from the Jurassic period or about the Jurassic period.
Huh.
I don't know where that name comes from. I just was laughing this morning because I was looking up the Wikipedia article for this museum... and, like, in the opening paragraph, it says, the relation to the name is unknown. Like,
nobody knows.
Nobody knows why
this
it's named that.
This is the type of thing that if we didn't do video game content, I feel like we would do videos about. Like, get to the bottom of the Jurassic Museum of Technology. Which, obviously, still could be done. But, like, man. Because someone must have that information. But the internet doesn't.
I know. It is kind of an enigma because most of the information about the museum is from their own website.
Yeah.
It's very... it's just bizarre. Like I said, it's very dark, and there's a kind of there's a lot of screaming going on down there.
Yeah. Should we go see? You want to go
let
see?
Let me go check.
No, you can keep talking.
Let me go see what's going on.
The people can still hear us. What do you got? some kind of dancing or something happening
down
there?
Oh, it's these guys
yeah,
over
they're,
here.
They're hooting. They're hollering. What are they, about 12, 15 maybe?
And, wait.
Man, look at these people.
Is that Dr. K again standing right there?
Do you recognize anyone? Is that J-Man Curly?
That almost looked like what Dr. K was wearing earlier. Just the guy standing right here, looking.
Well, maybe it is. Maybe that. I think we're actually looking. We could be looking at Dr. K.
I think that's Dr. K.
Is that his children?
I keep seeing him today. I'm not stalking him, I swear.
Holy Christ. Oh, my God. That's Dr. K. That's so funny.
Should I yell something at him?
No. Don't bother the man.
I love that guy. I keep seeing him today.
You can say, Dr. K, we love you. He's just on his phone. He's just standing all alone.
I don't know what he thinks of that behavior. I don't want to annoy him.
I mean, if you're at VidCon and you're Dr. K, you must know that, like, people are going to be doing stuff like that, right?
Imagine if we were doing it one balcony down.
We could go, hey, what's up?
And we could have had him on the pod.
We could grab the cameras and we could run down there. That's what
it is. He's taking a break. He's looking
at
the view.
That's fine. Listen, I leave it to you. You're the Dr.
Alone.
K stan. But just know, the people watching, he's right there. What are you talking about? Jurassic technology?
Well, I forgot to say earlier, like, I feel awkward in that kind of situation. He did the panel, and then there were a bunch of people lining up that wanted to talk to him. I mean, I have a million questions for him I could have actually asked him, but I feel awkward when there's, like, a bunch of people waiting behind me, and I don't want him to be there forever.
Yeah, the lady two in front of you was yapping his ear off.
Yeah.
She talked for about 6 minutes.
So I felt like it was not the place.
It wasn't.
And I didn't want to be a time hog.
No, what you need to do is get big enough that you can have a longer conversation with him.
Yeah.
And that's, like, that's your YouTube end goal right now.
Yeah.
Just get big enough that...
I think once that happens, I'll be fulfilled.
You could be done.
I'll have no more reason to do this at all.
Yeah.
So this fucking museum, we keep going on wild tangents and then coming back to it.
Well, we had to see what all the yelling was about.
There's kind of an even mix of true and untrue things in it.
Yes.
And so it's hard. You really do feel like you're in this weird kind of dream space between reality and fiction. And it's just very interesting. So I want to tell you about Jeffrey Sonnabend.
Oh, I was going to ask for specifics. Thank you very much.
Did I tell you anything about Jeffrey Sonnabend
before?
No,
please tell me.
So he's a guy that supposedly researched memory as a concept.
Okay.
And this is in, like, the 1800s. All the stuff in this museum is from the 1800s and 1900s. So, again, nothing Jurassic about it.
Right.
Even they talked a couple of times in the museum about the fact that the flood and Noah's Ark actually happened.
Yeah. But the rest of the museum wasn't biblical.
Even that, they weren't claiming happened long enough ago to be the Jurassic. So I just really am confused why they're using that word.
Yeah.
But Jeffrey Sonnabend, I wrote his name down so that I could look up more about him after.
Yeah.
But when you search his name, only the Museum of Jurassic Technology comes up.
Okay.
So I don't know if he's real. I also was kind of reading the beginning of an article about this museum that a journalist wrote where he said he, like, interviewed the founder, and some of the exhibits might just straight up be made up.
Okay.
So it would be really funny if Jeffrey Sonnabend did not actually exist.
Yeah, I was curious. This seems like the type of thing that surely somebody would have done some kind of deep dive on, but you're saying there's no YouTube videos about it. Most of the information is from
the
website.
Yeah,
there's
I could
one
look
interview
a little bit
with
further,
the founder, and that's,
but
like, the only...
pretty much everything that comes up on Google just links you back to the website for the museum.
Do you know when the museum came into being?
1988.
But I sat and watched a whole, like, 20-minute video. I don't know if it was 20 minutes. I might be exaggerating. It might have been 10. A video about Jeffrey Sonnabend's work. And all of the...
Was this on YouTube?
At the museum.
Oh, okay. Got it.
I sat in a little bench. Everything is extremely old-timey.
Yeah.
And even the way that people are speaking on the voiceovers kind of sounds like a weird dream from the 1950s.
Huh.
It's very strange. They're, like, speaking it with this kind of mysterious vibe.
Yeah.
They're like, Jeffrey Sonnabend, a researched memory in 1865 or whatever. Like, it's very, like, slow and kind of mysterious.
Right.
And everything is coming at you from, like old school, like, gramophone speakers that are, like, on the ceiling and aimed at your head.
Huh.
And many of the TVs are 3D TVs.
Meaning?
Like 3D without glasses TVs.
Oh.
Which I think
like
have
a holographic thing? Or like the 3DS?
Yeah.
So if you, like, move to the side, it stops working?
Yeah, but they honestly work pretty well. I kind of didn't know that we had that kind of technology. But well, the Museum of Jurassic Technology has
it's from a long time ago. It's from the lower Jurassic.
It's from the dinosaurs.
Actually where they came up with those
3D TVs.
That's exactly correct.
So most of the little videos and stuff that you see in this place are these like weird little holograms, which again adds to the just bizarre feel of everything.
Oh man, I gotta go here.
You seriously do.
We're thinking,
everybody seriously
should we go to Disney tomorrow or should we go to the Jurassic Technology Museum?
I could have spent hours more there. It was like winding paths of craziness. But so Jeffrey Sonnabend researched this concept about planes of experience and the cone of memory.
I love planes.
And by researched, I mean he sat in his house for like 5 years straight writing about it.
Okay.
And thinking.
On a side note, this bugs me. The amount of times that you meet people who like put stuff up online or that are like some doctor somewhere came up with something and they go, I researched this for 10 years. And it's not that. They just made stuff up about it for 10 years. They just came up with ideas.
Exactly.
Never tested them. Didn't do it. They were just like thinking a lot for 10 years and came up with a bunch of wild theories.
Exactly.
I'm like, that's not.
That is
researched.
What I would say most of the scientists that this museum was about was that
they
kind of
thing. They thought about it for 5 years.
They thought about it for 5 years.
Came up with a lot of fun metaphors.
With like no outside influence.
Yes. That's how you get the cone of
that
what?
Was the feel that I was getting from Jeffrey Sonnabend, because at first he comes up with this idea that almost sounds like just a nice visual for thinking about like short-term versus long-term memory, because he's saying that everybody has a cone. What was it? A cone of memory?
Uh-huh.
I think he called it sometimes the cone of memory, sometimes the cone of forgetting. But it's, it's like an organ, he said, but it's kind of on an imaginary plane.
Yes.
And it's a cone. And then when you have experiences, experiences are these kind of square planes that are just floating around. And sometimes they intersect with your cone. And that's when you experience something.
I love this.
I kind of thought
my God.
You would be obsessed
That's
with this.
Awesome. Okay, so what we're saying here is that experiences just all exist everywhere all at once. And something happening to you means that one of them, you've just sort of collided with it.
Yes.
So what's happening right now is just me colliding with an experience that exists sort of floating out there objectively.
Right.
And it's just now collided. I don't know why it's a cone. I'm confused about that.
It's a cone
metaphor.
Because if you think about the intersection of a cone with a plane, it makes a little circle, right?
It does. And it can be a different shape depending on the angle.
Normal experiences, the intersection of the cone and the plane is going from the wide base part of the cone to the tip and then off and gone.
So it goes through that way. So it's like a
Yeah.
Okay.
And so that is like when it's at the base of the cone is when you're currently experiencing it.
Yeah.
And then you slowly forget it over time.
And so the cone goes wider.
No, the cone is widest when you're experiencing it.
Oh, and then it disappears into the distance,
the
like
base,
a road going off
like,
into nothingness.
It's small at the top and big at the bottom.
Yeah,
the
pictures. You can orient, you know.
Right.
But I'm saying the experience starts when it's big.
Yes.
And then it gets smaller as it moves through you. In theory, perpendicular, so it's a perfect circle the whole way if the experience is going normally.
If it's perpendicular. But then he gets into all this stuff. So, like, what I've described up to this point, you could
I might have to make a video about this. I love this. This is incredible.
What I've described up to this point, I could see being just like a visual that a professor was using to explain how we experience things or how we slowly forget things over time.
And they're so helpful. Those are helpful. Those are good.
But Jeffrey sat in his house and thought about this way too much for 5 years
Started
straight.
Started thinking it was real.
And so he has all these definitions for Are you worried about the snipers?
I'm just happy about this thing. I was just kind of glancing over there, but I just like this. I'm enjoying this a lot.
He has all of these theories about what it means for the plane of experience to be at different angles with the cone.
Yes. And that's where the shape gets weird, and then the process of it moving through you would be different.
Exactly.
And, so what has he got? What can he teach
me? So most normal experiences, I don't know if I can explain this. I can put up pictures because the museum graciously has diagrams of
this
on the website.
I'm definitely going to have to check those out.
But most experiences are at an angle where as the plane, they had the planes moving like horizontally through the cone, which is vertical like this.
Which
and small
that doesn't
at the top,
sound good.
At this type of angle. And so this is a normal experience because it's colliding with the base first and then kind of passes through the cone.
I see, okay.
And the intersection is getting smaller and smaller and smaller and comes up.
I thought
top.
You were saying they would like come from the bottom and then sort of hit the bottom of the
that
cone
might
perfectly.
Be, yeah, a perfectly perpendicular plane they didn't explain, but I'm sure Jeffrey wrote about it.
I'm sure, okay.
Because he was
it.
Writing about every yes. angle of plane that yeah. there could be. But then my first question is, if these planes can be at any angle, what if one is the opposite way so that it intersects with the top of the cone first?
Yeah, but they didn't get into that?
He did.
Oh, my God. Tell me.
And that, he's saying, is what deja vu is. Because it's coming kind of from the back of your mind to the front.
Yeah.
Instead of the front to the back.
But... okay. The metaphor does kind of fall apart when you really dig into it, doesn't it? Because that sort of implies, like, if we accept that something intersecting the biggest part of the cone is this sort of the most present moment experience of an experience,
yes.
and then it fading into memory, that sort of implies the déjà vu. Déjà vu, I guess, sounds like one of these planes of experience just sort of, like, nicking the top of it and then sort of not ever going further. It's like it almost like it came by and it just hit the tippy top of the cone with the thing and then
yeah,
it
went
through.
Yeah, that's probably also a possibility.
But deja vu doesn't like it's not like you start to feel an experience and then suddenly like you have it. And the deja vu isn't like a present concrete experience. So
exactly.
The idea that it moves to the front of the cone or the bottom of the cone doesn't necessarily jive with my understanding of this
right.
philosophy. I take a different approach to this. I have a different school of thought when it comes to cones and planes.
Yeah. I haven't read Jeffrey Sonneman's work. Mm-hmm. Like, what I'm explaining to you is about all that they explained in this weird
Does
little 3D
documentary.
Does he have
a book or something I could read, maybe?
Yeah, and it's got a crazy title that I can't remember right now.
I'll look him up.
Like, matter is in the title. Like, he's explaining what matter is as well. So it might just be, like, his entire worldview. In this book, which again, I don't know if it exists. I don't know if you can actually get it because when you try to search him, it's only the museum website.
This would be such a fun rabbit hole to go down. Like, I really think you should, I'm not pressuring you, but you should take your first sponsorship and get them to sponsor a trip back out here for like a 7-day exploration of this museum. Try to interview
that.
The workers who work there and figure out what the heck it's about. Get the book. Maybe this guy's still alive even. I doubt it, but it could be. Maybe like his kids or somebody must know something about this in the
yeah.
world. There's 7 billion people of us. 7 billion of us. People of us. I want to know more about this.
And then I was going to talk about another guy that I really liked. That I'm going to try to say this name right. It's like Russian. It was like Sokovsky, something Kovsky.
Okay.
But that is a real guy that actually like pioneered some ideas about rockets and space.
Okay. That's a totally different realm of
But because I had already been through all this Jeffrey Sonneben drama, when I got to the spaceman, I also kind of assumed he was just like doodling to himself.
They must put it in there just as like a sort of validation of what came before. It would be like if they were like, check out this. We've got Jeffrey Sonneben and this other guy and Albert Einstein. These are all great. You know,
yeah,
and they're trying
yeah,
to like
yeah.
trick you into thinking that Jeffrey Sonneben or whatever is truly a pioneer of thought
yeah.
with Einstein. Love that. I want to curate a museum. I feel like that's a great form of art that goes on.
It is. And I would say this place was more art than science.
Definitely. Was it because there's a lot of museums like this that like sort of have a thesis or like have a propaganda goal? Was there a
right.
solid goal that you
not
understood?
Possibly explain what the goal is.
Okay, so it wasn't, again, when you first told me about it, I assumed it was a creationism museum, but it's not that.
I don't think so. There
okay.
wasn't much Bible related except for mentioning Noah's Ark at least twice as a historical event.
So weird to start and stop with that.
Specifically Noah's Ark happened.
And then the Jurassic name is weird because the Bible assumes the Earth is, what, 6,000 years old if you're taking it literally, which it sounds like they at least are taking the one story literally.
Right.
And the Jurassic period, ages ago. So what gives?
And I think they were saying that the flood wiped out the dinosaurs.
Okay.
So, like, Noah didn't bring the dinosaurs on board.
That doesn't make sense because he brought the animals on board before the flood. If he did it after the flood, they wouldn't have been there.
No, I mean, like, if the flood wiped out the dinosaurs, that means he didn't decide to save them, right?
Oh, he intentionally was like, no, you guys are...
Yeah.
You're done.
Yeah.
Well, you've had enough time on you. Got it. Okay.
You've had enough.
Intentional choice, yeah.
I don't know. It's all very confusing. I really... I spent, what was it 2 hours? I got there at, I had an appointment at 4, because you have to make an appointment. Okay, guys, pay attention. You have to book this online. It's only $15, but you have to book a specific time to go.
And it's open like 3 days a week.
And it's open 3 days a week. It's open like Friday,
Saturday,
Sunday.
How many staff members did you see while you were there?
Like 3.
Okay. Older people?
No.
So I'm trying to imagine being the 17-year-old.
There was one like girl in her 20s that was
You didn't ask her anything about serving like, what the hell
cookies.
Is going
I
on here?
I should have.
Like, what is this?
I think I was stuck in the dream state.
Yeah.
I was just experiencing.
Yeah, they're pumping some kind
of
gas.
I was just taking in my planes of experience into my cone.
I guess so. Huh. Well, I love that theory. And now I really want to go to that museum.
Yeah.
I think it sounds really good. And I hope that someone in the comments has some illuminating information.
So that was my first day. My very first day, I landed in Burbank and I took buses and trains all the way down to Santa Monica.
If you landed in Burbank, do you happen to remember what kind of plane it was you flew in on?
No.
Was it a normal plane, as far as you could tell?
It was a jet. It wasn't a propeller plane.
No, yeah. But it was was it 3 seats on either side?
I think so.
Okay. Well,
I think it was a normal size plane, which surprised me a little bit because it was just a little 2-hour flight.
Yeah. And a smaller airport, too,
direct
I think
flight.
Burbank is.
Yeah,
but,
to a small airport. But
just curious.
I'm sorry. I'll pay better attention next time.
No, hey, everything's all right. It was probably an Embraer 175 or something like that. Probably an A320, I bet. Yeah, the very first thing when I got here is I told you this already, but 2 Airbus A380s. Highly recommend. Listen, you're flying out of Burbank, though, huh?
I'm flying out of LAX to leave.
Okay. See, check the schedule and see if there's any A380s landing like a little before your time.
Right.
What time do you leave?
So I can just look at them and go, that's a big plane.
But you'll be sitting at the in and out, and they'll be landing like 100 feet above you.
Did you like
hear
about...
And you think you're going to get crushed.
So you sat at the in and out to watch planes.
Well,
is that a thing that people do?
I looked up a little bit, yeah. It's like a good plane spotting location.
Yeah.
Because you can kind of chill. There's like a park. And you can look up like the schedule of all the planes that are coming to land. And I knew, as everyone does, that LAX has by far the most A380s landing at it of any airport in the U.S. And I'd never seen one. It was like a bucket list item.
Mm-hmm.
And I checked, and about an hour after my flight was scheduled to land, there was going to be one coming in from Korea. And I said, we got to see that.
And that was the first time
you've
seen one.
It was gigantic.
How did that feel?
It felt really good. And then 3 planes later, because, you know, they're landing them all the time, another one. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
2 in a row. It's surreal to see one of these things. It feels like you're getting crushed by God when you first see them because they're so big.
So those have 2 stories?
2 stories, 4 engines, a bunch of wheels. Really fat. They're
4
just big,
engines.
Fat planes.
Yeah. Are they like 2 next to each other?
Yeah, 2
and
on each
2.
Wing.
Wow.
Yeah. I once saw the biggest plane in the world. Biggest plane we have ever built. It's called the Antonov 225, built by Ukraine. Blew up by Russia recently. See, one of a kind. 6 planes, 6 engines, 3 on each wing, and about 80 wheels. Like
Jesus.
An unbelievable monster. And it
80
was,
wheels for the landing gear?
Yeah, it's like the back landing gear. It's just like just like fuck loads of wheels, like
wow.
So many wheels to carry it. So
I did want to say, I'm.
What was
the
last pod before
beginning?
This? I'm trying to remember what that one was. Was that it was a baby one again?
It was a baby one. I wanted to say at the beginning of this episode that we had finally escaped the baby game.
Yeah.
Because I did notice 3 seemed to be the limit of baby game pods that people could handle.
No, the limit
is
we keep doing it until people stop complaining about it, and then we'll stop doing it.
But I don't think... I didn't see many complaints on the second baby game pod. And then on the third one, there's been an explosion.
People were like, no, seriously, you guys
saying,
stop.
You
just
guys got to get out of here.
Yeah. Well, and now we're as out of there as we possibly can be.
Yeah,
congratulations. So you get it. We get another in-person pod.
That was just really funny that the rage I was feeling from the comments about the baby game. And then I wanted to do questions, and I forgot to write any down, and our phones are being used.
Well, I could stop recording on my phone and then just come stand over in front of your camera, and we could pull up the questions. First, I'm going to show... Well, let's show people what we're looking at. See over there? That's the...
That's Disney.
That's Disney. Can I zoom in? No. And then over here, let's see if Dr. K is still down here. I'm going to look. Where is it?
Look at all these palm trees.
No, Dr. K.
You're going to drop your very
Dr. K is no longer down
gimbal.
There. And then we got hotels and
yeah, we should have taken some
center.
Sneaky footage of Dr. K.
No, that would have been really weird. We're not. We don't do stuff like that. This is a little, let the man mind his business, you know?
Yeah, honestly.
And you got this, where there's this lady down here who's like kind of resting on that bench, you see? It's nice. It's really nice.
Yeah, let's just judge people.
Some people
from
who just
here.
Came out, a bunch of people in all black, possibly coming to kill us.
Yeah, there might be another sniper team.
Yeah, that's kind of scary over there. It does say danger zone. I don't know if you see on top of that building over there. It says danger zone.
Yeah, what is that building?
It's the danger zone. You can't go in there.
They're out here having a team meeting, I think.
Maybe.
Something important.
That's fine. Now I'm going to turn this off so we can read your comments, okay?
That is an unhinged thumbnail.
What in the world? Is that Mr. Beast in your recommended?
I'm subscribed.
You didn't roast me for the fact that there's a red bar on it.
Oh, you watched it. You watched it.
I didn't actually watch the whole thing yet, but I clicked on it because I was like, that thumbnail is cursed. That's horrendous. All right. We almost have 10,000 subscribers. You know that?
I know.
9.91. And we've never promoted it. So that's good for us.
And I hit 100K.
Oh, yeah. You hit 100K at VidCon. Woo!
Wait, yesterday or the day before? Yesterday.
It was late at night the day before in a hotel ice cream shop. All right, you ready for some questions? I'll
yes.
come stand by you. Question one, I'm just going to quiz you on them, okay? Question
we're
one.
We're in frame together.
This
Everybody was saying the last one that was in person. They were like, I'm not sure if you guys really were together because
these people don't trust us.
You didn't appear on the same camera.
We don't trust them. All right, this is from Joe. You ready?
What's up, Joe?
Is college worth it? Oh, no, this is Joe saying that college isn't worth it because he has crippling debt. Sorry,
we
Joe.
We talked about that last
time. I apologize
time.
To Joe for your crippling debt. Question.
Just go gamble, Joe.
It's a good way to make money. In Vegas. You have to do it in Vegas. There's better
way
odds.
To make money.
All right. Question number one. Yep. MM, thoughts on goldfish? This is from Schnarfbird. Do you like goldfish? Do you ever have a fish?
Yes, I like goldfish. I'm not sure if you're new. That sounds like a newbie type of question.
We talk about goldfish constantly.
I'm famous for eating goldfish at this point. I think I've...
Oh, I was thinking the animal, the pet.
No, I'm not eating the animal. Somebody was like... I don't know where they said they were from. I think it was British. They were like, I'm British. I don't know what goldfish is. So I thought you were talking about the animal, which, like, why would I be eating the animal?
Just handfuls of them. Just slurping them down, you know?
Why would I? I'm a vegetarian. I don't do that. But also, don't they have goldfish in Europe? Surely they do.
No, there's a lot of funny things. Like, I was talking to JJ last night about zebra cakes. Not in Canada. No zebra cakes in Canada.
Wow.
It's weird. The difference between cultures, you know? Just a few miles north.
They're all out of them.
They're all out of them. That's true.
I don't know about them.
You got to be careful because you're almost making fun of my Minnesotan accent. My Minnesotan. We get close to Canadian.
What do you say that sounds Canadian?
Oofda. Oh, yeah.
Oofda?
You go, oh, yeah.
Is that a word?
Oofda. Yeah. People in Minnesota go oofda anytime they have to lift something up. I say it sometimes. But I try to suppress. Or they go, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sounds like Canadian. So, yeah, be careful. Those are my people.
Sounds like weirdos.
Those are my people. You know, goldfish grow forever as long as you keep giving them a bigger tank. They just
yes.
keep getting bigger and they turn. Isn't that what a koi fish is? It's just a goldfish that was let go too long?
I don't know, but I do know that I don't think they're the same because big goldfish don't look like koi fish.
That's true. They're kind of like round.
They're freaky.
True.
Yeah. They're very round, very bugged eyes.
Maybe like a koi fish is like a species of goldfish or something, but a separate one.
Yeah.
Anyway. Ma'am, a lot of questions for you. I think they probably got sensitive because last time you were like, all these are questions for you, talking about me. And now
Maybe.
Everyone's asking questions for you. Ma'am, do you know of the band Questmaster or the band Fife?
Nope.
That's from Tristan. They make medieval. You were talking about making medieval music?
Yeah, I'll look them up.
Okay, thanks for that answer, ma'am. Next question. Is there a video or series of videos by you both that changed either the way you think about something or the way you approach your channel? Is there a video that you've
made?
Yeah, that made you like change the way you think about something or the way you approached your channel?
Maybe my first video back after I moved that I think is just called What is Gamer?
That was a big, big change.
That I consider that like the beginning of Memoria Season 2.
Yes.
Because... it just like had a lot of segments and it was kind of like, what can I do if I actually am putting all my time into this? Cause I was actually kind of full time for the first time.
Yeah.
Unemployed. I'll just say unemployed. And, so that was fun. Cause I kind of just threw everything into one thing. And then I want to keep doing more stuff like that.
You realize that putting like a little bit of thoughtfulness into things is fun. makes things better and cooler.
Yeah, it's fun to just have more time working on a project, and then you just have to worry about like how much time is too much time. At some point you have to stop yes. and just publish it.
Some people make YouTube videos that are a little too cooked, you know what I'm saying? A little yeah. too, they baked them a little too long, you mm-hmm. might say. I think for me it would be the first time I put up an Unremarkable and Odd in Super Mario 64. I was like, oh, this is really low effort content and people really like it. This is incredible.
You can't say that to the people.
Well, then I stopped making them and I started making high effort Unremarkable and Odds. This is from Wolfganger. Did you know that Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory was just a big ad for the Quaker Oats Company? The original. Did you know that?
The
I don't think
book?
They mentioned Quaker. No, the movie, 1971.
The
they
Gene
didn't
Wilder
mention
movie?
It once, so if that was a sponsored thing, not good. They got to do a better job.
I didn't see anything about that.
I don't think they didn't mention oats at all. Right?
I don't think so.
Yeah, that sounds like a leftist conspiracy to me.
That sounds like something somebody at this party made a video about, probably.
Maybe. And then Wolfganger also says...
Did I tell you or were you there? There was like a hilarious moment where I was like, we were talking about Tobuscus.
Oh,
and I was
Lord,
saying
yeah.
to somebody, you know, I stopped watching Tobuscus like long before the controversy. I don't even know what happened. I need to go find like a 5-hour deep dive.
Yes.
And he like pointed across the yard and was like, I think there's like two people
yeah,
here that have done that.
Yeah, literally have one. That's the experience of going to these parties.
It's YouTube in
so
real
funny.
Life. You can just ask.
That's the whole point of VidCon, right? You come to, it's
yeah.
YouTube off the screen and in person.
Like anybody's welcome to come up to you and ask you to just reenact an entire one of your videos, right?
I would like to see them try. Like, see, no one came up to me and said the B word, so I'm happy about that.
Have you had anybody, just regular people at the conference that are fans, come up and say hi?
I don't think any people from, because it's, you know, VidCon's separated into three floors. You have, like, the community floor, the creator floor, and then
yeah.
the industry floor.
It gets more elite as we
All
go up.
Of the people who have come up to me have been on the creator or the industry floor. Not a single person of, like, the general
yeah.
public. I think pretty much everyone who I've talked to.
Because
all the people on the community floor, it's like very younger skewed, I feel like.
Yes, it's kids and their parents.
And then,
but as we've
know.
Talked about, the only difference in those three tracks are the price. They are open to the public if you buy it.
Yes, and really the only one that's actually prohibitively priced is the industry one. Like the creator one is not
yeah.
so expensive that it would actually prohibit a normal person from getting it.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of normal people do have it.
But the only reason to get it is because the panels are then more focused for the people. Like, all of the panels on the second floor are just, like, how to get views, how to start merch,
yeah, how to make
how
money.
To be a creator. And so if you bought that as, like, a regular
there
person,
was,
you'd just be really bored.
There was a group of boys in there that I walked past earlier that pointed at one of the creator lounges. I'm putting lounge in quotes because there's two different ones and they're not lounges. You can't
they're
sit in them.
Very strange.
They're, like, weird photo ops. But one of them is, like... literally hospital themed. It's very unsettling, honestly,
yeah.
to walk through it. But it's supposed to be like a little experience where they teach you how to monetize your channel better. It's called like the monetization clinic or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, I walked past this group of boys that pointed at it and were like, monetize, let's go. Let's make
that,
money.
So many, it feels like, you know, in GTA, how like they have little lines that people say when you walk by, like, these cars are crazy. But
yeah.
it's like that, but it's all YouTube.
Monetization.
Yeah. It's like, your thumbnails need to be better, bro. It's like you'll be walking by and just hearing these types of things as you walk
yeah,
by. It's super,
yeah.
It's extremely amusing.
A lot of people... strategizing.
Tons of strategizing.
Which is really not my vibe.
Well, yes, but there's plenty of, you can go, J-Man Curly's got plenty of stuff downstairs that's just, you know, you can watch him perform and have fun.
Yeah.
No strategies. You're not going to hear any strategies.
Yeah. There's
a lot of screaming.
There's several, again, big Minecraft YouTubers, they're all doing Minecraft, that have dedicated booths that are
yeah.
like extremely elaborate. It's like a little mini carnival themed around your favorite Minecraft YouTuber.
Yep, with a lot of stuff to buy and lots like little games to play
yeah.
and things like that.
But then Dream is like one of the biggest of all time, and he just has like a little merch stand. He doesn't have the whole carnival thing.
That's because he's an OG. He
I
gets
guess
it.
Hard.
He's a normal guy.
There's a little photo op with his mask.
Yeah, did he even do panels or anything? He must have.
He
right?
has been in a panel. Yes.
All right, I haven't seen him.
Well.
There's still time.
There's still time.
All right.
Was that the last question?
I mean, I'm sure there's
more. I kind of felt like I was on a panel just now. That was kind of fun.
Yeah, that's a little practice for you.
Yeah.
Would you like to swap with me for the one that I'm doing? I'll give you the speaker badge and you can
sure.
You can
I can pretend to be you.
I bet that would work because they don't.
If I
gave you this thing and this, no one would know until you actually got to the panel and introduced.
They do have a picture of you on the panel advertising.
Correct. But I'm just saying until you actually got there, I bet you could get pretty far is what I'm saying before they'd be like. And especially if you like confidence played and said he got sick at the last minute. I'm his collaborator. I'm going to be filling in for him, but I know all the same stuff.
I could do that, probably.
And then you just go, like, just talk to Jeff in corporate, and he'll square it away, and then you just keep walking.
Yeah, the panel Austin is on, by the way, is something about 15 minutes of fame.
That's right.
Capitalizing on your 15 minutes of fame.
We're going to teach people what to do if you get a viral video. You want a spoiler alert? What my advice is? Nothing. Ignore it. That's my actual advice if you get a viral video.
That's what I would say, too.
I would say just don't pay attention to it. It's not that important.
Well, you just spoiled it now. What's the use of going to this panel?
For you, nothing.
I just want to see
it. You will learn nothing. It'll be funny. We'll have a good time.
Because I'm just curious to see what it's like to watch you on a panel.
There you go. Well, we're going to find out.
But yeah, just really hilarious title. I can't imagine making that as a panel idea and inviting people to it. It's like
a lot of stuff like
it's
that.
It's a burn.
It does make me feel like they think I honestly don't know.
And
I
want
to know how it's so completely
untrue for you because all of your videos do so well now.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is I was thinking back on it and I did have a viral video. If you remember like 5 or 6 years ago, I did that thing where I threw the chicken into the volcano.
Yes.
And that I was getting like 5,000 to 6,000 views.
Of yours.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We've talked about this. And so I was getting like 5,000 views per video. I did that 1 million views video right after that. 3,000 views. It was just like a spike,
right.
And I no capitalizing on it
but
whatsoever.
But that wasn't like...
So that gave me experience in how not to capitalize on a viral video. And I can speak to that to some extent.
Because did that change what you were doing at all?
Nope. Not at all. In fact, if you look at the videos that came out immediately after that, they were so out of left field that it's no surprise that my channel just kind of tanked for a while. It was when I was doing those videos like... what can YouTube teach us about eating pepper spray? Do you remember that shit?
All
right, don't worry about it.
There's a video
called what can you, I did a series called what can YouTube teach us about blank. And I would just type in and sort by lowest views, a topic. And I would watch
that's
videos.
So fun.
It was a great idea. The format was not good, but so I did like Pike Road, Alabama, just like a town in Alabama, eating pepper spray.
Eating pepper spray.
Just like all sorts of random stuff. And so after my viral Zelda video, that's what I did. And of course, they did horribly. They got like 400 views. But I think back fondly.
Anyway, is that all?
Let's go back to VidCon.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool.